right. You're absolutely right. It's good that you're paying attention. Let's pray. Lord, as we come together to explore your word in our lives, prepare our hearts and prepare our minds for the message that you would have for us today. Amen.
Amen.
So we are indeed coming to the end of a series that we've been calling the Jesus Lifestyle. We've worked through the Sermon on the Mount. We've been doing it for a while, haven't we? But I promise we are almost done. We've looked at the attitudes of the followers of Jesus, how we should be thinking, how we should be behaving. We've looked at how our faith should play out in our lives. We've looked at building a deep relationship with God, a relationship of integrity, a relationship with love, in thought, in word, in action. We've looked at what we truly treasure. And we've looked at how prayer is a response to the relationship we have with our loving Heavenly Father. So to finish off this series, we're going to take a closer look at the Lord's Prayer. So keep your Bibles open to Matthew chapter 6, if you would, and we will get underway. Now, when I was a young nurse, I moved into a bed sit in Wangaratta, which is in northeast Victoria. It was near the hospital, and the rent was cheap, so it seemed like a good plan. The first night I was there, this huge light came through the curtains of the window that I was staying in, and the foundations of the house shook. And I jumped out of bed and I ran into the living room, and little old Mrs. Marsh, that was her name, Mrs. Marsh, came out, and she said, "What's going on, dearie?" And I said, "What was that?" And she said, "What was what?" You see, the house was right next to the level crossing in town. And I hadn't thought of that. And at 2 a.m. every morning, a freight train heads north to Sydney out of Melbourne and goes right through Wangaratta. And the light would shine through that window. And the foundations of the house felt like they were going to collapse. Needless to say, I didn't stay in that bedsit terribly long. But Mr. and Mrs. Marsh had been living there so long that they had become used to it. They didn't even notice it anymore. It was just part of living there. It didn't even wake them up. It had no impact. And I think in the church today, we've almost got the same problem with the Lord's Prayer. We pray it nearly every time we're together. We all know it so well. We know it so well that it's lost its punch. It doesn't pack the energy and the vibrancy and the shock that it once did. We rattle it off. We don't even stop to think about it. So that we're on the same page, I'm going to ask if you wouldn't mind standing with me, and we're going to say the Lord's Prayer. The words will be on the screen. Let's say the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Well done. Thank you. Have a seat. I guess Susan flicked back to the first part of the Lord's Prayer for me. How does the Lord's Prayer start? What words do we use?
Our Father.
Our Father. Why?
Because we're talking to the Lord.
It's so that we understand our relationship with Him. We're talking to our Father. We're talking to God. When we understand that relationship, that He's not the big guy in the sky, but that He's our true loving Father, that is personal, then everything can fall into place. We have to understand that relationship. And the reason for that is because there are really only two that we can relate to God. One is as an employee, like he's the boss, the big boss. Or we can relate to him like a child of a loving, perfect father. We talked a lot about what that relationship with a loving Heavenly Father looked like a couple of weeks ago on Father's Day. Yet so many of us in the church approach God like an employee would approach an employer. We basically come to God like asking for a raise, asking for time off for a holiday or for a parking space at Christmas. Our attitude's a little bit like, okay, God, well, I've honoured you in this way, so therefore you should bless me in this part of my life. When an employer, we apply for a job. We get the job. We do what we're told to do. We obey. And then we're compensated for it. Is that correct? That's kind of the employer-employee thing. But a father is different. When you're part of a family, you're not there because you've applied for a position or because you've done anything outstanding, ready for reward. You're part of a family by grace, and you're loved regardless of your performance. Jesus says, don't come to God like you would an employer, feeling like you've earned something, like you're entitled. But come to him out of love. Come to him trusting in his grace, in his goodness and his love. Because there is a difference, isn't there, in the approach. Like when my kids were little, when they spotted one of those coin-operated rides in the shopping centres, it didn't take long before the hands were out. Mum, can we have a ride? Can I have a dollar for the ride? Now, if I was an employer, I would turn to the kids and say, what did you do to earn the dollar? What have you done to earn that? But because I was their parent, I gave them the dollar out of love, out of the joy on their face. Not because they'd earned it. And let's face it, even when we do pay kids for jobs that they've done around the house, we're not really paying for excellence, are we? No, most of us pay over the top out of our love for the children, out of sheer mercy and grace of our hearts, don't we? Now, where am I going with all this? Jesus is telling us that the first part of this prayer is how we should be approaching God, that how we approach God matters as much, if not more, than what we actually ask for. He wants us to love him. He wants us to love him for who he is. Not some intellectual understanding, not some assent, but a deep rooted relationship. Like when I'm away sometimes and I ring home, it's not because I have something earth-shattering to say. Because I want to hear the voice of my husband and my son. I want to talk to them because I love them. And I know that they love me. But to hear that from them is something else. Because it's one thing to know somebody loves you intellectually, but it's another to truly experience that love. And God wants us to experience that love, to approach him in this way. Because until we do, we will struggle to relate to him as Father. And when difficulties come, like a freight train coming through your window of your bedsit, it will rock your relationship, it will shake your foundations. Because we're still trying to earn that relationship. And we'll say, God, I did all this. Why haven't you rewarded me? But Jesus says, when we approach God as our Father, everything changes. And we'll know Because there are four things that are evident in the prayer of somebody who is approaching God as Father. The first thing is adoration. We don't start with what we want, but with who he is. So verse 9, you're my Father. We've covered that. You're in heaven. You have a vantage point that I don't have, and I recognise that. You know the end game. You see everything from eternity to eternity. I'm going to trust you. I love you. I trust you. I trust your good and perfect will for my life. And then hallowed be your name, like the kids said. Holy, set apart, set above. Let your name be raised above all else in my life. Every thought, every word, every action, let all of me, every part of my life, bring honour to your name. Hallowed be your name. It's a big call, isn't it? Huge. Can we even say that? That we hallow, revere, set apart, honour his name in every part of our lives, in every interaction of every day. Lord, in the way I work, hallowed be your name. In my family interactions, in the way I speak to my wife, my husband, my children, my son, my daughter, my grandkids, hallowed be your name. In the way I do my taxes, hallowed be your name. In the way I treat the checkout operator down at Woolies. In my use of the internet, in the books that I read, in the TV that I watch, hallowed be your name. In my conversations, Lord, in the words that I choose, in the things that I say, hallowed be your name. Jesus is saying that if you want to relate to God as Father, the first thing we need to do is adore him. We have to adore him. We have to honour him for who he is and what he's done. Because this, believe it or not, is actually what we need more than anything else in our lives. To delve into who God really is. To be truly captivated by him. To fall in love, to know him, to experience his deep and abiding love and grace, and to apply that to every area of our lives. It's transformational. And once you've done that, once we've all done that, we're ready to move on and to seek the extension of his kingdom in this world, because we would want nothing more. And for everybody to know what we know. Verse 10, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. These words are powerful. Do we know what we're asking? Your kingdom come. We're asking for Christ to fully reign in the hearts and lives of believers and the body of his church. We're asking him to reign fully in the church so that we every day increasingly reflect his love in the world. We obey his commands. We honour him. We love the unlovely. We reach the lost and we proclaim the good news. We proclaim all that he's done and all that he's promised. We're asking for God to rule and conquer the apathy and self-centeredness of our world. To control and change the hearts of everyone who rebels against him, including us. We're handing control of every situation to God. We're admitting that we're not smart enough or strong enough or present enough to run the universe. We're handing him the universal remote control. We're handing over control of everything to God. Not my will. Not mine. Not your will. but God's will be done in our lives, in our relationships, and in our church. We're saying that we hand over all our personal preferences, every single one of them, our non-negotiables, our petty disputes, we're handing them all over to Him. And we're bringing our Father and His pleasure and His purpose to the centre of all our choices and all our decision making. These are powerful words. They're transformational. They bring peace. They truly bring peace. I prayed these words while I watched in the emergency room as I watched the team work on my son as he died. And I felt a strange warmth, a comfort, a peace that came on me. Jesus prayed these words, "Your will be done," in the Garden of Gethsemane. And they gave him certainty and conviction and peace for what lay ahead. Now, we call this the Lord's Prayer. But do we really think that God needs to be reminded of who he is, of his awesomeness, or invited to reign over his creation? When we pray this prayer, who is it really for? It's for us. It probably should be called the disciples' prayer. He reminds us of who God is. He reminds us of our perfect heavenly Father who loves you, who loves me, who is sovereign, who is holy, who is pure, who is good. And once we've firmly established who he is in our hearts and in our minds, and we've humbly admitted our need for his rule and reign in our worlds and in our lives, and when we've brought his will to the centre of everything, his desires to our decision making, only then are we ready to turn to the conversation to our own needs, which we're going to look at next week. In the meantime, if you're struggling to pray like this, if you're struggling to think like this, read the book of Psalms. The Psalms, they're all prayers. They're chapter after chapter of honesty and adoration, of turning back when we failed, of coming to him again and again and seeking him first in all things. And they beautifully worship him for who he is and for what he's done and for all he promises. Let's pray. Awesome, wonderful, loving Heavenly Father, thank you that you love us so much that you sent Jesus so that we can have an intimate, personal relationship with you. Help us always to remember who you are. Help us to remember that you are our Father who loves us. Help us to come to you in love and humility. Help us to seek your will and your purpose first in all things. And Father, in our weakness, strengthen us so that we can live out this Jesus lifestyle. Amen. Amen.